Welcome to Mindfully Integrative Podcast with your host, Dr. Damaris G. Mindfully Integrative is a podcast discussing ways toward mindfully incorporating integrative health into our lives. This podcast will have informative resources, fun topics, interviews, and discussions relatable for today with a true mindful perspective in a mind-body holistic life approach.
Hello. This is Dr. Damaris Maria Grossman, and thank you again for joining in on the Mindfully Integrative Podcast. And I just wanted to let you know of our upcoming events and things. So if you want to know and reach out, our resources and our membership is opening soon. So check out mindfullyintegrative.com for more fun and more info. Thanks so much, and talk with you soon.
Hi, how are you, everyone? This is Damaris Maria Grossman, and this is the Mindfully Integrative Show. And today we have a mindful chat with Amanda Kate. She's an author and a health advocate, and she's going to talk to you more about her journey and her health journey and how she can kind of give her tips and what she's done for herself and for her clients. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Australian, also.
Yes.
So, I appreciate you coming on the show so early in the morning and for taking the time. And I always ask kind of a quick fun fact that people may not know about you.
Oh, goodness. I was a cheerleader for one of the local football teams back in the day.
How fun was that?
Oh, it was great. It was great. Our cheerleading was not quite at the standard it is these days. However, it was,
Oh, I was definitely not the cheerleading type. I barely could turn left or my right. So I was like a runner kind of person. But I can imagine these, my friends when I was younger were really into it and they, it was like super competitive. It's like really
hard. Oh, no, ours, not so much. Not so much back when I was doing it.
You're lucky if you even get me to say one cheer. Oh my gosh, what were your colors? What were your like team colors?
Navy and white.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. We had like horrendous like high school colors. It was like this yellow, ugly yellow and this light blue. It just didn't go at all. You're like, "What in the world?" I get it. You know, high school has its moments. So let's chat, you know. So you know, this is an integrative health space, but really a wellness and a whole health conversation. And I know that you're an author, so we would love to get to talk about your book. And it's The Divine Messy, you were just telling me a few minutes ago.
Divine Messy Human.
Divine Messy
and
Human. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
And what's the other line on that?
A spiritual guide to prioritizing internal truth over external influence.
That's important.
Yeah. I think that's pretty much, you know, what you were saying before, that health journey has been, you know, a lot more actually about the spiritual side of things and the personal side of things. So it's, you know, I guess that's where that integrative part has come in for me is looking at that from a much more holistic perspective of what was actually going wrong. So, yeah.
Was there a turning point for you, or was there something that happened when you were younger, or was it something that it kind of transitioned and said, okay, I need more faith in my life? Or was it just that, like, I need to get healthy?
It was, I feel completely and utterly broken. I almost don't think that life's worth living.
Yeah.
And surely this isn't it.
Oh.
Surely this isn't what this whole existence is supposed to be, is just feeling like crap and having, you know, unnourishing relationships and, you know, constantly striving for this perfection and this better and running myself into the ground to do so. It just felt completely misaligned, and it just opened up a whole bunch of questions that I'm still, I guess, asking in so many ways. I don't think I've gotten too many answers.
But I think that's the point, right? I mean, a health journey and in a whole health conversation, as I talk to people, especially in that spiritual sector, you know, even if it's a conversation that maybe people may not understand, I mean, energy cannot be created or destroyed. There is a reason things happen that we don't have a reason, right? And and probably you're going through I have my own, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have these conversations with individuals like yourself if I didn't go through some of that even or learning process. because there's so much that we just don't know that we're learning, right?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think the biggest mistake we make is often thinking that we know more than we do and not questioning nearly enough.
That's so true. Was this like a recent, or was this more like when you were prior to like your marriage and your children?
So I guess I started really noticing it nearly 10 years ago. It was about 2013. I was needing like 3-hour naps in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. I just was not feeling well at all. And yet doctors were running all these tests going, you're perfectly healthy. Like there's nothing wrong with you. And so then they're trying to put me on antidepressants. And that was really a massive red flag for me because I'm going, it's not depression. Like from what I hear of depression, this doesn't fit. And they're like, oh, but you know, it's the same way that we don't just put people on the pill for, you know, regulating period or for birth control or whatever it is. It's, you know, the same way we'll use antidepressants for you. And I'm like, well, that doesn't fit. Like I couldn't make it fit anywhere. And it was just this gradual decline from, I mean, I know I was already in chronic fatigue, but it was just like this continual decline from there to a point of going, this is insane. Yeah. And it wasn't until 2016 that I was actually, by that point, I ended up getting a mental health plan because I honestly thought I was broken. I thought there was something seriously wrong with me. So I went and got a mental health care plan, got a referral for a psychologist and looked at joining their mindfulness circles. And in that process, I was speaking to their receptionist and she said, okay, look, you sound really quite stressed. I can't get you in with this, you know, psychologist until the middle of next month. And that's a long wait from the sounds of things. She said, you know, what's going on for you? And I kind of gave the high level socially acceptable answer of, you know, we just moved to Australia, you know, a few years before. My ex-husband was in a job that he didn't really like at the time. He was my husband. You know, my son was being physically hurt at school. My daughter was having massive tantrums because she'd been old enough to, you know, to go to school in the UK and she wasn't old enough anymore. And so she was just having all sorts of trouble. And so I kind of kept it on that high level bit. And the woman just said to me, so who's got your back? And that really was probably the catalyst for this whole journey I've been on ever since. Because it is, it's like, hang on, what is that support structure like externally from me? And then when I realized that there was none there, I started looking inside and realizing that there was none in there either. So I didn't have external scaffolding. Mm. I didn't have internal scaffolding.
Oh, no, you didn't and have so any it's like, good quality, well, quality help nothing. To at least kind of get you through some of this tough stuff.
None of it. Nothing. Mm. That's and tough. So, yeah, and I think it's interesting, you know, I hear a lot of research. Obviously, the States do a lot more research than most other parts of the world, and it's fantastic because I think it does sort of show a litmus test for where we're at to an extent as well. And they were saying that, you know, there's a high percentage of Americans who don't even have one person to put down as an emergency contact.
I can definitely think that that is, and that in comes in into play of that connection part.
Mm, yeah.
So it is like paramount health in that. So it it's yeah. It's so sad to know that people or they have more connections on a social platform than they do on a real platform.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I guess it just started me really thinking, okay, so who are these people I'm surrounding myself with and why if I don't even feel comfortable going to them and, you know, going into this now. And also, you know, internally, the fact that I'd gotten to whatever I was at the time, 36, 37, and feeling like I didn't even have the internal resources to do anything of use. And so it was just this feeling of, okay, I've got nothing external, I've got nothing internal, what the hell is left? Right. And it's just been this gradual rebuilding from there of questioning, you know, my own skills, my own stories, my own traumas, unpacking all of the conditioning that's in me, working out other ways of being. Because again, you know, people would talk about passive aggression and I had no clue what it was. That was, you know, and I remember sitting in the classroom one day and we were talking about language and started talking about, you know, the difference. And I was like, oh my God, like that's just communication in my life. You know, that wasn't passive aggression. That was just the way people communicated.
And you thought and that was so, sort of a normal conversation.
Yeah. I didn't realize that I was being passive aggressive at all. And then like I'm
you
like,
were being passive aggressive or others?
Yeah. Well, I was swimming in the water of it. Both.
Oh, gotcha. You might. Okay.
It was so normal. And so it was like, huh, okay. And even that small change made such a big difference, thinking about what I was saying, how I was saying it, the energy I was saying it with, the words I was using, you know, what I was actually intending to get across in my message. And so even things like that were like, wow, this is huge for me. And it was just these realizations after realizations after realizations. And, you know, one of the biggest ones was the fact that, you know, my marriage was toxic. And I'd known that for a long time. But with all of these other realizations, it was one of those things where I started going, you know what, am I living the kind of life I would like my children to be living? Mm-hmm. And I couldn't say yes in any area of my life. If they'd come to me saying that they were where I was at, I'd have been devastated for them. Mm-hmm. And so that was almost that push that I needed to really start making some change.
As a mom, you know, you want it to be the best version for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's interesting
that your relationship is, I mean, that's their father. So that must have been a very tough transition, you know, to realize that also was affecting your health.
Oh, that was the main thing. And it was interesting because I didn't realize how much that affected my health. But because every day my goalposts changed. So if I'd done too much and I was exhausted in the evening, then it'd be like, why have you done so much today? You've worn yourself out. But then if I didn't do enough by the standards that were put on me, then it'd be like, what have you been doing all day? Mm. And I'd be going, well, either way, I couldn't win. And that was just one aspect of life. I mean, there were obviously a whole heap, but the goalposts kept changing. And so I was constantly walking on eggshells and either overstriving to meet these unknown expectations and then getting hauled over the coals for it, or falling in a heap and not being able to function and then being hauled over the coals for that as well. And so there was no right path to walk. And living in that constant tension means that my adrenal system was constantly on a high alert. I was constantly waiting for the next shoe to fall. And I was in that state of adrenal wind up so that the smallest things would happen and it would set me off because I would be effectively feeling unsafe. And it was a very strange kind of way to live. And even now I look back at it and I'm like, how did I even do it? And how did I not see that it was so messed up? And having gotten out of it, it's given me the space then to look at my behaviors. So now if I have those overreactions, I can actually look at what's been happening leading up to it. What's my sleep quality been like? What's my food been like? What's my, you know, self-care been like? What's my connection with nature been like? Have I seen my friends?
The whole picture.
Yeah.
Yeah. You get it. We wouldn't be on this conversation if you didn't.
Yeah.
It's not that you get it, but you're understanding that there's different parts of this that can help, you know. You need a foundations, you know, these need to be part of your, I don't even know if it's foundation. I've been saying like we're in the center ish and then all these other elements have to be included, you know, and if we forget one of those leaves, you know, if they fall off.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly. I think my favorite thing that I've learned over all of this time is that, you know, quantum physicists have found that the universe is 4% physical matter. So when I'm working with a client, I'm looking at this human body, this human meat suit as 4% of the picture. So then I'm asking myself, okay, what's going on in the other 96%? It's not that 4% doesn't matter, but how much of what else is going on is feeding into that physical picture of what's happening. So looking at their mental, energetic, emotional, spiritual, metaphysical, relational, financial type aspects.
Absolutely.
And more to go, okay, what is the holistic picture of this person? Do they have people to lean on? Do they have internal resources? Do they even understand that their normal is not
normal.
Perhaps as normal as it could be? Yeah, no, exactly.
Or is not, it's not necessarily normal, but is not okay.
Yeah, it's not functional. Right. I mean, my normal was so dysfunctional. My normal was abusive. My normal was toxic. My normal was passive aggressive. My normal was so many things that I now look at and go, whoa, how did I even get to that part? And when you're swimming in it, when you're in that water, you don't recognize you're wet because you're in the water. And until I had some brave people point out to me how different my life was, I didn't recognize it. And I remember even when I was in class and, you know, we'd do clearings on each other and I'd say, oh, that's because of this. And they'd go, whoa, you do realize in a healthy relationship that kind of thing isn't said or done. And I'd be like, huh? And they'd actually have to explain to me why what I was saying as my normal was actually not okay. And so I was constantly learning these things and unlearning these things that people had said to me or done or I'd done to them that was completely out of that, you know, I guess acceptable, resourceful behavior. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, and so it was literally just realization after realization after realization. And it's been incredible because it's also understood, I guess, helped me understand how I did get there, how I did allow that to be my normal, how I did, you know, it seeped in so gradually that, you know, I almost didn't realize that I was in it until I was getting out of it and people were pointing out, you know, the discrepancies. And I'm like, huh, okay.
And now
I get it now.
Now that you've been away from that for such a period of time, that toxicity, do you find yourself in like an opening and clearing in a better space? Obviously, but is your health even done a full turnaround, your chronic fatigue changing, your overall, like, have you noticed your physical health is just whirlwind better?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I mean, I'm going through a bit of a, one of the first things that goes for me is sleep. So I know at the moment my adrenals are a little overstretched. You know, I've been working a little bit much. I haven't had a break. I know all the signals. So I can see that. And so therefore, you know, I think it's Friday week. I'm heading away for a road trip with my partner. I've just said we need a week away. We just need to get into nature and not do for a week. It doesn't matter if we only get to our first place. I just need to break. You know, I haven't had a break from my business since last May. And so that's a long time actually to be in your work. And so there's that part of me going, okay, I get it. I understand why I am where I am right now. So, right, what do I need to put in? What do I need to do to then I both support myself until I get that break? Because it was about 6 or 8 weeks ago that I realized that I, you know, I was heading towards this kind of, you know, burnout sort of phase again, but I couldn't book this break until next week. Because that was the first time that I could actually clear.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things where there's been a lot of things then I've been putting in to manage where I'm at so that I can make it through to that and get to a point where I'm like, okay, reset time. Yeah. But I feel those little things of chronic fatigue, you know, I feel the heavy legs coming back and it's like, yeah, okay. You know, as you know, chronic fatigue sort of fits more under that autoimmune disease. It's never something that I believe will ever be fully gone from my body. It always seems to be that first telltale sign that I've been working too much, that I've been doing too much, because I'll feel some of those symptoms sort of rearing their heads and sort of going, remember me? And then I have to put in all of those other things, more time in nature, more time away from screens, you know, more downtime, more turning off from work, more time with my loved ones, more time with friends, and doing all of those sorts of things, and more time on my own as well, so that I'm not feeling pressured by others, more time in the garden, more time with my dogs.
So, yeah. I was gonna say more on your, like, putting the right things in your body, the right thing, and surrounding yourself with the right and positive, the, whatever that is, whether it's with or without.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think the most and key part that you're saying there is that you are acknowledging that you have this period of time for reset, but acknowledging also when you don't have a full moment to do a vacation or a reset that somebody may want, how do you get those resets every day?
Yeah.
How do you get those conversations for yourself? Be like, I'm not going to get back into this space. How can, and then signal to yourself, hey, let's identify it and talk yourself or work through what you need to work through. And that's so important, that that awareness is so important, that majority of individuals don't really even get to that point, just identifying that they have issues. Not even issues, not the right word. Have an acknowledgement of that they need some change.
You know, that's absolutely,
that's great. That makes sense. I really appreciate, you know, you kind of talking about that. And let's talk a little bit about your book. You wrote that, you said, about a year ago?
So I launched it in February. It was 22nd of February 22.
Congratulations.
Because, you know, all the twos needed
working
to go
on my
with
book,
the numbers.
So hopefully it'll be done soon.
But funnily enough, I started writing it middle of October. So it was literally 120 days from, you know, starting to write it right through the editing process to actually holding it in my hands, which was amazing. But it had been swimming around in my head for so long. It just needed that channel to come out. And it basically is a lot of the tools and techniques and realizations that I've had. So it's not really my story. There's not actually a lot of me in the book, so to speak. It's much more about the tools and techniques that we can use to really start turning that awareness internally. So often we defer externally for what's going on for us. You know, if our relationship's sucky, we'll talk to people about how sucky our relationship is, hoping that one of them will go, let me break up with them for you. or we'll tell people about our shitty job and they're like, oh, I know someone who's got a job going. Would you like that one? We kind of want other people to fix stuff. And, you know, even from little, you know, something's wrong with you, or we'll take you to the doctor or go see a parent or go see a teacher. We're always told to look outside of ourselves for the answers.
Right. Of course.
Yeah, and it deadens this internal knowing. It's like we scream over this internal voice that knows what path we should be on, that knows what is right for us and right for our body. I knew for years that my marriage, there was something wrong, but I was too afraid to leave it. I was too afraid to trust that internal knowingness. So I kept doubting myself and doubting myself and doubting myself. Yet I look at it and think, if I'd left years earlier, how much heartache would I have saved everybody, including my husband? We wouldn't have gotten into that really toxic place that we'd gotten to, because I'd have recognized it and gone, actually, you know what? My truth is screaming that it's not right for me. Therefore, it's not right for any of these people in this. He deserved a better love. I deserved a better love. And my children deserved better examples of what love could be. And so for everybody, the right thing was actually not that, but I didn't trust that calling because I'd learned to doubt myself and scream over myself so much. So I talk a lot about, you know, I guess that naming the emotions that are in us and understanding that emotional landscape that we're swimming in and what those emotions are trying to tell us. Right. I talk about the headspace of why we always seem to turn towards the negative and how we can turn that around and start looking much more for the positive stuff. Talking about, you know, how the paradox and getting comfortable with paradox is actually a necessary part of life. It's not like we can feel, you know, this or this. Sometimes we're feeling all of it together and that can feel overwhelming. But once we can be okay with the fact that, you know, I don't know, I love this person and I also don't condone their behaviors, they can actually sit okay together. And then we can work out what to do. I talk a lot about boundaries. You know, boundaries is a big thing for me, and also self-responsibility and healing. You know, I couldn't have got where I am without my own initiative, without doing the work that, you know, was uncovered with coaches, with clinicians, with, you know, those people. I mean, you know, if I go see a doctor or a naturopath or a, you know, chiropractor or a kinesiologist or a coach, I'm seeing them for, you know, whatever it is, half an hour, an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever their session length is. If I don't take what is discovered in that time home with me and act on it, then there's not going to be that change.
Right, right. You're not.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
even if it's your own stuff, right? You're figuring it out. That accountability is just it for you. As you're accountable for others, you're still, you need to.
100%. And, you know, yes, it's okay to want to go out and get a pill to fix things. You know, wouldn't that be lovely if there was a pill for everything, you know, and we didn't have to do any work. But realistically, you know.
I know, that's not if the conversation we want the change, here.
No, exactly. If the change, you know, or that necessary change, should I say, for me, comes from actually putting in that work. Yeah. And I can look back now and I'm just like, oh my God, I don't even recognize who I was back then. You know, I've made so many changes. I'm such a different person, but also very much the same. It's like I'm more me, but also so completely different. Mm-hmm. And that's been incredible as well. And I talk a lot about, you know, tuning into our intuition and our intuitive gifts, you know, owning those. You know, back in, you know, ancient times, that would have been a blessing to have some of these intuitive gifts that we have, and they would have been celebrated and lauded. And now they're seen as woo-woo and out there and, you know, not able to be trusted. Mm-hmm. But actually, you know, I've found anyway, some of them are more reliable than that logical brain that's telling me what's going on. Yeah, through the stories and the processing and all of that sort of stuff.
No, so, it makes sense.
So a lot of it is, I guess, in some ways every chapter probably could have been a book in itself, but I really wanted to keep it short, bite-sized chunks so that people could kind of go, okay, I get that overview, I understand it. And then, you know, we've got the opportunity to go much, much deeper.
No, it makes a lot of sense. I think that I can't wait those to reach out for your book. It's called The Divine Messy, right? And I'll have it in the show notes for those to
Divine Messy Human.
Divine Messy Human. I just love it. I think that just makes sense. It's like, it's a very real topic. It's like a very real title. Yeah. And I think there's like that work in progress, but kind of that alignment of self. It's so, so important. Would you like to leave a thought before you go and also let those listening, how can they reach you?
I think it is to start listening to those little whispers and acting on them. So a lot of the time we'll hear the whisper of our soul and we'll get that guidance of, you know, a direction or something. And then we're like, huh, where did that come from? Why is that there? Or should I trust it? Shouldn't I? And then we get distracted by all the shiny things outside of us. And I think the more that we can tune in and hear those little whispers and act on them and realize, hang on, this is showing me something that is actually really positive for me. Mm-hmm. You get more of it and you get more of it. And that internal knowingness gets louder and louder. And so the more we can, I think, practice listening to that whisper, the better our life becomes, because we're starting to follow our soul, not what everyone else thinks we should be doing. So that for me is probably the biggest thing that I work on, really, both for myself and with clients.
Well,
so, yeah. Thank you. My website is www.amandakate.com.au, and I'm on most of the social channels. I think most of the links are actually on my website. So for Facebook, for Instagram, okay. I think LinkedIn, you know, they're all sort of there. So yeah, I'd love to connect.
That's great. I can't wait for those listening to reach out to you and just to find more about you and at least take a read on your book. So thank you again, Amanda, for coming on the show.
Oh, it's my absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
And I hope you get some rest time for yourself and reset.
It's coming.
And thank you guys for listening in. And I appreciate you tuning in to the Mindfully Integrative Show. And make sure, like I said, find a mindful way each and every day.
Thanks for listening to Mindfully Integrative with Dr. Damaris G. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss an episode. If you enjoyed our show, support us by leaving a mindful review on Apple Podcasts or your favorite streaming site. If you would like to be a guest of our show or interview, email us at info@damarismaria.com. If you want to learn more about the resources mentioned in the podcast, you can find those in the show notes. To connect mindfully with Dr. Damaris G, reach her at www.damarismaria.com or connect via social media links. We appreciate your time connecting here with us. May your strength and peace within bring you more balance every day. Namaste.